Blog Talk Radio.
You know it's all about the power!
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have survived the year 2022 WrestleMania week. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I have not killed over. I did not choke on the pretzel. I did not die because of Nikita Lyons giving me her finishing move. I am still here, and I am not happy about what happened this past WrestleMania weekend. It sounds like a lot of you are, but I sure as hell ain't. This is the Mastermind Bob Rogers signing on to the FTW Future Focus, the future of pro wrestling podcast. Here with me is one from Chicago, Illinois. He is one of the guys that just loves the rabbit, and I can't stand the bunny. But no, I'm just saying, he's one of the guys that love pro wrestling. He's on this podcast each and every week. He's a member of the NWG wrestling podcast. He is marvelous, Marcus Buckley. Marcus, what's up?
What's up? What's up? I'm also not happy about this weekend, but actually I like the bunny better than this weekend, but it's a whole other story.
There will never be anything better than a bunny. I'm sorry. It just.
Yeah. I might agree with him on
that.
Hold
on. I might have to change my.
A couple.
I could. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I might have to change it after this one. Next on the list, he's by way of Chicago, Illinois. He's in Indianapolis, Indiana. He loves all that has to do with Mandy Rose.
Oh yeah,
this man loves the Toxic Attraction, along with Toxic Wrestling, because Mandy Rose partner of WWE. He is Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Oh God, help me! In addition,
yes, please.
Last but not least, he is the man over the airwaves. Has been called in more matches than a hotel that's trying to help somebody light cigarettes. This man has been all over doing this thing. I mean, an excellent commentary. If you don't believe me, check out Fight TV. Check out IWTV. This man is one of the top announcers that I'm saying. Honestly, to be honest with you, he's probably better than half the commentators that you see on WWE and AEW. But he is part of the FTW network. He is your not-so-humble correspondent, Robert Black. Rob, what's up?
It's all right. Thanks for the introduction, Bobby. And my palate was cleaned this past weekend of the dumpster fire that was WrestleMania. So I'm in a better place than I was, but that don't mean that I'm the least bit happy about the what happened last week. But we will get to that shortly.
Yes. Unfortunately, we will. Well, guys, we're kicking this off. We're talking about WrestleMania Sunday. I'm not even going to go in order. I'm just going to talk about these matches, and hopefully I got enough barf bags here to last me to the end of it. First match we're going to discuss is for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Let's get that out the way. Zelina, Carmella, Sasha, and Naomi, Ripley and Morgan versus Natalya and Baszler. And it seems like Sasha and Naomi picked that one up. So, Tony, you want to take that one first?
Sure, why not? Are we going to 10-1 on this again?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm happy that Sasha and Naomi won. The match itself. The match itself, at the time, it was like it was a waste of time. I'd give the match itself probably 6, and that probably being generous. And at the time, I really thought it was probably a waste of time, but it actually turned out to be better than a lot of the crap that we saw afterwards, which was sad. But yeah, the match is 6. I'm happy that Naomi and Sasha won. As we pointed out on SmackDown, this is the first female black tag team as a tag team champion. And the most, definitely most talented team in this match, so... Yeah, I give it a 6.
Marcus, go ahead.
Well, of course, you know, I'm happy for Naomi, of course.
Yep.
But again, you know, I'm happy, you know, black, you know, two black women getting the belt. But there was nothing special about the match. I'll give it a 5. Nothing special at all.
Rob.
Yeah, I would concur with Marcus. I would give this match a 5, mostly because it was sloppy in its execution. There were a couple of good spots in it that you would not expect in a women's match, but it was still there were still a whole lot of moving parts, and those moving parts did not always mesh together. But I think that all of us called Naomi and Sasha winning the match, and they're a really good team, and putting them over was the right thing to do. So even though the match was not everything that it was could have been, at least it ended the right way, so it does get a 5.
And with mine, I'm the only one that didn't pick the winner in this match. I thought Ripley and Morgan was going to take it, but this match didn't really get me up in any kind of way of whatsoever. It was good to see Ripley. It was darn good to see Naomi and Sasha. I was glad to see some competitors in there like Natalya and Baszler. But I'm getting tired of them getting crapped on. I mean, I'm, don't get me wrong. I am happy, very happy, that Sasha and Naomi is the one that's won these titles. But it's time for Baszler and Natalya to get what's just due to them, too. And even though I was happy, I was kind of disappointed the way, too. I gave this a 6. Just because of Naomi and Sasha winning and making history. Other than that, probably would have been lower, definitely lower. Actually, I'm most likely it would have been lower. So, yeah. So, next match we're going to talk about is Bobby Lashley taking on Omos. Tony, Marcus, kick this one off.
Well, I'm really happy that Lashley won because I didn't see it coming. And I actually expected the heel turn from MVP to happen that night. So I'm kind of surprised that didn't happen. But for the match itself, I will only see how almost really, I guess it was going to a green. And Lashley had to carry it, which isn't really a great thing either. I'll give it about 6.5.
Okay. Rob.
We're talking. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Rob.
We're talking about five and a half for this match. It really didn't do anything for me, but that's mostly because Almos has a lot of work that he needs to do in order to become what they're wanting him to be, obviously. And Lashley was basically pulled the match out of him, so I congratulate him on being a veteran and being able to bring a match that far. But Almos is just not that impressive. He's a big guy, and there's a lot that he has the potential to do, but the match itself was just kind of a write-off because of it. So we're talking 5.5.
Tony.
I'm actually going to give the match a 5. Mostly because of Almas. I mean, Lashley did do his best to pull him along on that one. I really think the WWE really dropped the ball with the way they booked this one. If they would have had MVP come out Sunday instead of Monday and turn on Lashley, that could have masked a lot of Almas's greens. Like, you could have really camouflaged it a lot better with a heel turn on Sunday versus doing it Monday. But the match was, it is what it was. I give it a 5, and, I mean, Lashley earned 4.5 of that 5.
Me, I also gave it a 5. Why? Because he almost had it. Almost. Just didn't get it. Yeah, that was a terrible transition, but I don't care. Next matchup we're going to talk about is RK-Bro versus the Street Profits versus the Alpha Academy. Rob, go first on this one.
Okay, this match I'm going to give a 7, and the reason being is that it was one of the better matches on this evening. And since it was basically a Cupid zirconia in a pile of feces, and so it shines out like a diamond in that fashion.
Sound bright like a diamond.
Exactly, and I'm not the biggest fan of RK-Bro either. But I can see why the team has gotten over based on this match by itself. And it was your basic three-way tag team match. So but because of the people in it, and especially for this night, it gets a special treatment. So the only thing I wasn't expecting was that they were going to put over Orton and Riddle again. I assumed they were going to give the titles to Alpha Academy in order to further the feud, but you know, I guess they just want more mileage out of that team before they finally turn them. So I gave it a 7.
In WWE. Marcus, go ahead. Marcus?
You muted?
Okay, I don't know what's going on, but hold on.
He might be having technical issues like Rob was before he went on. Maybe he's on, but just can't hear him.
Yeah, his call dropped. Tony, go ahead.
All right, honestly, with this match, one thing I would say, Randy Orton's doing a phenomenal job with RK-Bro, and the reason why I say that is I hate Riddle. I never liked Riddle. Never liked them. I hated the team from the beginning, but their chemistry is making me not hate Riddle no more. Like, I don't hate when he comes out anymore. I don't hate seeing Riddle. I enjoyed this match, and I even enjoyed Riddle in this match. So I'm actually going to give it an 8, and it's sad to say, though, but because this is the way the night went, but in my opinion, this was the match of the night.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Okay. Yeah, somebody called me. It disconnected me.
Okay, so Marcus, what did you think of this match?
I was surprised. I'm going to give it a 7, just based on the fact that, say what you want to say about all the teams, they worked hard. So I got to give them credit for that. And that RKO that Riddle hit, that was impressive. So I wasn't expecting them to go over. I'm still not a Riddle fan per se, but the match was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Let me say this. I was shocked. I was very shocked by this match. And to hear people talk about Riddle, it's like he rubs you the wrong way at first, but then he grows on you and you end up liking him. I've heard that from a lot of people, and it's actually doing the same thing with me.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like
crazy.
Yeah, I couldn't stand him at first. But I'm thinking about his attitude when he first got there, and I think that's what threw everybody off, because he was saying, I want to beat him. And people took it like he was disrespecting the people that's been there before him, which in actuality, I think he was talking about it would be an honor to face them and beat them. I don't think he worded his stuff right. In this particular match, Riddle did come out. Yeah. Riddle did come out and actually show a very, very competitive side of him, something they needed to see for a while now. I think hanging with Randy Orton kind of got him on the right foot, so to speak.
Yeah.
I just wish they stopped the birds coming out of his ass, and I'd be fine
bit.
With him.
Yeah.
I just wish they stopped the birds coming out of his ass. I'd be cool.
And if he stopped wrestling in bare feet, I have always hated that, guys who wrestle in bare feet. I understand that it's his thing because he's laid back from California and he's an MMA fighter, but I don't know. I have just, even going back to the Islanders and Jimmy Snuka and all those guys, especially Kevin Von Erich, because he had the ugliest ass web feet that I've ever seen on a barefoot wrestler. But I mean, yeah, seriously, go back and look at those tapes again. Those are some nasty.
No, I'm gonna not look at his feet again. You're right. I'm gonna not go back and look at them.
I don't care about a man's feet.
And on that note,
the man could literally have talons on his feet, and I wouldn't even notice.
I know. I mean, that's not my main problem with Riddle, but you are right. He's getting better. He's getting more tolerable, I'll put it that way. I'm like Marcus said, I'm not a Riddle fan. But, you know, at least he's tolerable when he's with Orton. That might be half the reason they won the match.
I cannot stand Riddle. But he's winning
well,
me over.
I gave him a 7. My score, I gave him a 7 on that match. So,
right.
I mean, it was interesting. Better than other crap.
Yes.
And speaking of that crap,
Oh,
it's hitting the bottom right now. I'm going to bring it back up in a second. Johnny Knoxville taking on Sami Zayn. Rob, you're going last.
Can Rob go last on this one?
Yeah, I think I'll go last.
Okay. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I'm in a better place than I was because of this past weekend because I did New Wave Pro and I got the good stuff back. But my God, this match. It was an offense against God. It was an abomination. There was just, there were very few, if any, redeeming qualities about this match. And it exemplifies everything in professional wrestling and in the WWE in particular that makes me want to puke. And I'm halfway serious about this. If I ever meet Johnny Knoxville in the flesh, I am going to kick his jackass for this match, and I am going to keep kicking that ass until that ridiculous white hair turns brown again.
He's going to be better than Rogaine, y'all.
Yeah, my foot is going to be the Rogaine. And, oh, my God, what a horrible it makes me think back to the days when I was in school and I had to, like, answer for something stupid that happened on a pay-per-view and your so-called friends are just waiting to give you shit the next day. And it made me think about how many good kids had to go to school Monday morning and answer for this match when they got into class. And think about this as a fan. How many people saw this match and will never watch professional wrestling again unless they're making fun of it and making fun of people like us, versus the people that saw FTR versus the Briscoes at Super Card of Honor and can't wait to see wrestling again this week? And the fact that people in that arena were cheering this match just makes it all the more unbearable. This match, my final rating for this match is going to be a -5. We're not just saying zero. We're saying less than zero. That's my rating on this.
That's right. I thought you would be
Cody, go ahead.
Rob put it best. I was going to give it a zero because I forgot me to go below zero, to be honest with you. So I'm going to give it a -5 myself. The match itself is a zero. But the fact that these people paid so much money to attend WrestleMania and applaud that bullshit to make Vince McMahon think that this was good, yeah, -5 for me. -5. I'm with you on that, Rob.
Marcus.
I don't know how else to follow it other than I think, in my opinion, this is the worst match in WrestleMania history, as far as I'm concerned. Just for the sheer fact that they gave that match, 20, 25 minutes for them to do that?
Yes!
I mean, it seemed like that match seemed to go on for a long time. So since we're using -5 as the lowest, I'll give it a -5 also.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce of how you have had at least 35,000 to 40,000 people in the same building that are freaking idiots. Half that crowd wasn't cheering. I can't blame the whole crowd on this. But at least half that crowd was. And if you cheer for that, you're a damn idiot. I don't care who you are. You could be Albert Einstein, and if you like that, you're an idiot. How in God's green earth did WrestleMania come from the pillar of the top matches ever seen for that year or forever, period? And you come down to the bowels of hell and the annals of your auntie's diarrhea asshole and pull a match out like that. That
yes,
is the
that,
most
that
insulting and disgusting thing I have seen in my life. And it wasn't because
it was
ugly.
It was an offense against God. That match
it,
was an offense
yes, it was.
Against God.
Yes, it was. It was offense against us, period. Because
yes.
I don't understand how Vince McMahon could expect you to pay those high price seats and have a match such as that garbage that was on the WrestleMania card. That should have been pre-show, if anything. If, it's a two-letter word in front of that. Let me say that again. If anything, it shouldn't have been on WrestleMania, period. This match was garbage. This was not regular garbage. This was not recycled garbage. This was toxic waste. Something you can't get rid of. And the WWE has just screwed everything up when it comes to WrestleMania by putting this match in there. They should be ashamed of themselves. I already put negative 10, but since we're saying negative 5 is the lowest we go, then all right, well, negative 5 it is. Luckily for the scoring system, you save 5 points. God, that was garbage.
Yeah, set the tone for the rest of the night. So,
but honestly, though, I am more upset with the fan. But I'm really more upset with the fan reaction than the booking itself, though. Like,
yes,
because it's like the fan reaction is gonna justify that Sylvester McMahon.
Absolutely. I was like, am I watching the same thing they watching? Is it something? Are they seeing something different in the arena than I'm seeing on TV?
I didn't know if somebody played an April Fool's joke on me and had one thing on and audio on something else.
Who knows? But yes, the crowd reaction was just the almost more insulting than what was going on in the ring.
Oh, but let me tell you a little bit about what some people said. All right, I had one guy on one message board sit up there and say, "Well, that's entertainment because they made millions of dollars off of that spot." Okay, the first thing I said to him was, who on God's green earth, whether you're Ray Charles, Helen Keller, or just a bimbo like old girl off of Baywatch, would have left or not came to WrestleMania because they took that match off the card?
Right.
Nobody would have gave a shit. They would have still came to WrestleMania. So your argument is not only mute, it is the dumbest thing that I've heard. Besides Donald Trump eating dinner with Southern black people. That's all it is. I'm sorry.
Right now you're saying that's
Tony.
Good about that match, but one thing that's good. They took the title off of Sami Zayn. It wasn't a title match. That's the only thing that was good about it.
Yes. It would have tarnished
oh,
the Intercontinental
oh,
title
man.
To have that in that
yeah,
match. So
granted,
thank God they took it off.
We didn't get an Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania, but at least that wasn't it.
Yeah.
My thing is, My thing is, what are you saying about Ricochet? You would rather have that match on there instead of Ricochet.
No, it's
quite boring. Or Finn Balor.
We need to talk about that next week, about the people who got like shafted on WrestleMania because of that match.
Oh yeah. That's terrible.
We need to go into that next week. Yeah, because there's a lot of talented wrestlers that didn't make the card, and we saw that BS instead.
I'll say it for you, bullshit. I don't mind taking a strike for that because that was. It was bullshit. It was the most disgusting thing that I've seen besides, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't even talk about it.
And my thing, to piggyback off what you said earlier, Bob, of all the people who watched it, whether in the audience or on TV, who actually paid to see WrestleMania because of that match? I mean, how many people
Nobody.
Did Johnny Knoxville bring? Exactly.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Not one.
He barely brought himself.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So to say, well, we got to have Johnny Knoxville, he'll draw us more money than Ricochet, than Finn Balor, than Damian Priest or whoever. It's just unbelievable to me.
I'm telling you, if I was Ricochet, I'd quit right now. I'd say, Seth, just release me. I'll wait 90, 120 days, whatever you want me to wait, release me. And if Vince would say, why, I'd say, because of that garbage match you had on, besides putting me on WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Well, yeah, that's not the only reason, but that's not the only reason, but we'll come to that in a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, having a proper Intercontinental title match with anybody else would have been preferable than airing that dumpster fire. And it makes me sick that Sami Zayn actually got on Twitter and defended that match and said that he was proud of it. I mean, my God, Yeah, if I were Sami Zayn, I would be embarrassed. I would retire. I would disassociate with anything for having been involved with that.
Much like Riddle, I never liked Sami Zayn. I hate Sami Zayn. Always had and always will. I like Riddle. This match made me hate him even more.
I'm going to tell you, the only thing that could have saved Sami in my eyes is, look, Vince made me an offer I couldn't refuse. The payoff was more money than any I've ever made in my life. That's the only thing that would leave him an ounce of respect to me.
Yeah. The only way I would
say
That basically he hold himself out. I mean, you say if you guys saw the amount of money Vince gave me to do this crap, then that would have been
the
it.
The only way I would have respected
for some money for this one, and I don't really think he got enough money to even justify that shit. I would have needed $5 million for that.
Rob, try to say something real quick. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, no. What I was going to say was the only thing that would have made me respect Sami Zayn at all out of this match is if he had pulled a Sheamus and just went into business for himself. Haluva kicked him for real in that damn corner, knocked his ass completely out, and pinned him right there. That would have done the boys proud. Because that, of all people, that match was an insult to all of the workers in the business who have wanted a WrestleMania spot but got it taken by Johnny Damn Knoxville.
Yep. I agree. Off with your head. But next matchup. Let's get to some better stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory.
Oh.
Now, I'm wondering why you on, Rob. I'm going to go last on this one. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Let's get something straight off the bat. I've got nothing personal against Pat McAfee, all right? And his performance in this match made the Jackass match this match was Savage Steamboat compared to the last one. But the aftermath of it with the octogenarian coming in was bad enough. But I have been waiting for a celebrity to get pinned at a WrestleMania since WrestleMania 2. And even though he's trained and likes the business, Pat McAfee is a multimillionaire and he's technically a celebrity. And finally, we get a moment that I've been waiting for a WrestleMania, and Vince McMahon is the one that steals it from me. And that on top of the worst stunner in the history of professional wrestling, and that has become like a meme that will live on for infinity now. But as far as the match itself, it was a whole lot more than I was expecting, but the bar was like sitting level to the floor. So I'm going to give the match a 2. And that's generally
Ooh.
For me.
Marcus.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with Rob on this one. And I'm only ranking the Pat McAfee and Theory match, just that part of it. Okay, McAfee did a lot better for himself than I expected him to. I think he actually did pretty decent. I'm actually going to give the match a 6.5. I mean, Pat McAfee showed a lot of good athleticism. You can see he came in taking the business seriously. And I think he did well for himself. So I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Well, Tony.
All right. Honestly, I don't look at Pat McAfee as a celebrity going into this match. The reason is he's a WWE employee.
Tony, let me interrupt you. You sounded real muffled.
Really? Let me try to go too far. See if it's better.
That's better.
There we go. Okay. McAfee's not your typical. He's not your typical celebrity. He's a WWE employee with the aspiration to be a wrestler. I didn't have a little expectations of his performance in this because of what he's done in the past with Adam Cole. That's when he surprised me. Because of those matches, I did expect a lot more. It's hard to take away what happened after the match and him losing to Vince and Vince breaking his own record for taking the worst stunner ever, previously held by Vince McMahon before that. But match overall, I give it a 5 just because I think the two of them did perform well. I thought it was a serviceable match. It wasn't great. Sadly enough, it's probably one of the better matches on the card.
All right. Hear me out on this. Rob, I definitely got to disagree with you on this. I love you, brother, but listen. McAfee, just like Tony said, McAfee to me is not a celebrity. He's a WWE guy. He's a WWE employee. He's in there training with everybody. He's just not training just for this match. He's continuously training. I was looking forward to this match. Actually, to tell you the truth, this is one of the matches I really wanted to see. Because I wanted to see, did he get even better? Or did he just level out? And he actually got better. And I'm sorry, his Shelton Benjamin that he did to jump up and give the superplex?
Yeah.
That's his mad skill.
Yeah.
That's his mad skills.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other two people I think that can do that is Shelton Benjamin and Ricochet. Other than that, nobody. McAfee clowned. He worked this match perfectly. And, yeah, Vince McMahon got in there and did some goofy stuff and did the worst stunner ever again, repeat offender. He gets extra years in jail for that.
I would offer him no parole from hell for that.
But hold on. I got to look at this, though. When it was McAfee's turn to step up and he took that stutter, nobody's taken a stutter like that one before. And that was beautiful.
Yes. Man, you would have said for me because that, when he took that stunner and then drinking the beer and laying on his back.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Forget about that.
I can't blame.
That was classic.
McAfee.
That was classic.
Yes. I can't blame McAfee because the owner of the company came in there and did something. He's the damn owner of the company.
I don't.
What you gonna
I
do?
Don't have
you know
it,
what I'm saying?
I know. I get what you guys are talking about, and like I said, I don't have anything personal against McAfee. It's just that this match stole a moment from me that I've been wanting to see for years. I wanted to see a regular WWE competitor beat one of these damn celebrities that they bring in. And I understand that he is not technically a celebrity, but he's a multimillionaire. He's more known for football. And you know, I don't want to see that at a WrestleMania, and I want to see the way that the match should have gone was that McAfee should have given Theory everything that he had and surprised people like he did, but Theory should have gotten the win, and then McAfee tries to shake his hand, and then Vince gets in the ring, and they double-team him, and then the glass breaks. That would have been fine with me, but Vince McMahon stole something from me that I've been waiting since WrestleMania 2 to see.
Hold on, let me say this. Think about this. Out of every person that's been a celebrity these past few pay-per-views, okay, or premium live events, excuse me, why would you think McAfee would be the one that would lose? I would think that would be the one you would look at and say, he's definitely not going to lose. I would have said Logan Paul would have lost before anyone. You know?
Well, maybe, but
I mean,
yeah, but he was in. Logan Paul was in there with The Miz, so there was at least a 50-50 shot that they were going to win. And you knew damn good and well that Knoxville wasn't going to stare at the light. So, you know, I was hoping that you know, McAfee would at least be professional. He would be professional enough if he was booked to lose the match, that he would lose the match and lose it in a great fashion. But I understand that he's not in control of that, and I get that part too. But my God, I just after getting crapped in my mouth in that Jackass match, I just couldn't be forgiving of this one.
Yeah, but they crapped in your mouth with this match though, because McAfee lost to a 76-year-old billionaire who punted a football to him.
Exactly.
Not only that, he lost to a 76-year-old man in his dress pants and shoes, not even in his gear.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree
with that one too. I just don't think I think in this match, I could not penalize McAfee on anything that happened.
No,
I can't penalize it.
No, I
actually,
no,
my ranking in this match, I actually gave it 10. I gave it perfect for McAfee.
Oh, wow.
Because McAfee did all that and brought out something and got me interested to where I was glued to the TV. I was glued to the TV to see what happened when he was in there. I didn't give a shit when anybody else was in there. I mean, okay, Rhea Ripley comes out. Yeah, I'm going to look at her. Natalya and Naomi come out. I'm going to look at them. You know, but, I mean, like, glued to the TV to see what happens in the actual match. McAfee had me. So I gave it a 10. I gave it a perfect 10. He did what he was supposed to. He was that match. He carried that match. He brought that match out. And I got to give McAfee all the props in the world for that. Even though, you know, we ended up seeing the worst damn stunner that was ever taken and the best stunner that was taken. The two best stunners taken.
Austin Theory
did a good one, too.
Right. Yeah,
Austin Theory was watching Rock videos of selling the stunner.
Yeah.
Rock sell.
But it's one thing I didn't understand. If Vince couldn't take the stunner at 50-something, how do you think he was going to do any better at 70-something?
I don't know. Ask his wife. She did
horrible.
It better 20 years ago. Linda McMahon took a better stunner than Vince did 20 years ago, especially the one that he did last weekend. My God,
I mean,
that was
just... Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Sad and pathetic.
I don't understand the stunner. I just don't get it. Like, it's got to get my egg and see what's going on. Don't understand it. God. Damn stunners. I'm glad he's retired now. Let's get on to Johnny Knoxville winning a title.
Oh. Blasphemy. Blasphemy. It is Sunday, sir.
Oh, my God, help me. Oh.
Man,
right.
After the crowd reaction to Knoxville, this,
holy water
after,
now.
After the crowd reaction to Knoxville, he will be the tournament next year in L.A. Because that's what the fans want. You heard how they reacted.
Okay. Well, for me puking, thinking about Knoxville, next matchup. Edge taking on AJ Styles. Tony, go first.
It was a unique match. And what, I mean, obviously the match itself was pretty good with them. Wasn't great. I think I had higher expectations than what they delivered on. The Damian Priest thing, cool twist, but I think I kind of would have read up for him a bit more than just stand there to distract AJ to lose that match. But I mean, overall the match was pretty decent though. I do like the new Edge. I do kind of like him and Priest now, and what that might lead to. I'm gonna get a match of 7.
Interesting. Rob, go ahead.
This was $100 bill at the bottom of a septic tank. This was a decent match. The only drawback from it was the ending. It was a little bit clunky and obvious, but AJ and Edge brought it, and they brought it for WrestleMania, which is more than I can say for a lot of stuff on both nights. So I would give this match a solid 8, basically because of AJ and Edge's performance. They gelled well together. There wasn't anything about this match that was offensive or off. It was just the ending was just clunky and didn't need to be there. It could have happened after the match. They could have put over AJ and it wouldn't have hurt Edge or the angle they're going for. And Damian Priest could have still come out and joined forces with him and raised their hands at the end. But as far as the match itself, I'll give it a solid 8 because Edge and AJ kick ass.
Marcus.
Okay, I'll start with, I thought this was the best match of both nights. And I had very high expectations for this match. I was expecting a CM Punk, Jack Harwood type of match, but it didn't get there for me, but it was still a very good match. I would give it an 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say this was actually the second best match of the card this night. It wasn't the best match of both nights for me. I'll get to that in a second. But I gave this match a 9. It came close, but that ending did screw everything up. That ending was terrible.
Agreed. Yeah.
I don't know what the heck they were drinking or smoking, but they need to stop. Because that was not how you gonna do AJ like that, man? I'm sorry. AJ's a way better competitor. Both of these guys can wrestle their behinds off. It should have been a way better, more competitive match. But for what they did and since the night was so crappy in the first place, I don't think they needed to do anything to excel over anybody anyway. So it was like they had no challenge.
Yeah.
They had no challenge to step that up and to make that into a, oh, my God. Because that's the one thing I do know about Edge and AJ. If somebody puts up a match that's that top quality against them, they're going to rise above that and go higher. It's just a natural instinct that they have. Unfortunately, we had to everything before them was diarrhea, and it was the first solid shit this person has had in days. So, you know, unfortunately, they kind of downplayed themselves, but it was still good enough to keep my attention. It's all this is the other match that had me glued
like
to
comparing,
the TV.
Like comparing filet mignon to dog puke. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is an awesome match. So, I gave it a 9. I gave it a 9.
Okay.
I think it deserved a 9.
Yeah.
And the last match of the evening. Unification time, baby. Brock Lesnar taking on your tribal chief, Roman. I look like the dude that used to be the fish god in that movie, Reigns. I don't care. Whoever wants to go first to this one.
I'll go first. This match was and my rating is going to be the build to this match. This is the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. And I don't give a shit if Roman got hurt and that's why I got cut early. The best part of the match was the intro. It went downhill from there. I give the match a 2. Complete letdown, a complete disappointment. Wow. It was a complete disappointment. They did not live up to the hype of being the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. This is a tight unification match on the granddaddy of them all, and they crapped the bed. This was the worst performance that these two, they wrestled a lot, and this was their worst match. I give it a 2. And a lot of that is because you hyped this up to be this huge-ass deal, and they shit the bed.
Well, I guess I got put in check on that one. All right. Mark.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Unlike Tony, I didn't have, even though with the hype, I had no expectations of this match. I pretty much got what I expected. You know, less the injury. I'll give it like a 5. Nothing special at all about this match.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I got everything that I expected out of this match too. And the reason is because it's the same damn match that they had 4 years ago. More or less, all the way down to one guy putting the other through the barricade, and Lesnar deliberately injuring Reigns because he wasn't happy to be in the situation that he was in. It was the exact same match that people walked out on for WrestleMania when they started heading for the exits. It was pretty much the same match that they had then. It's just because of the hype going into it, people tolerated it. And I mean, I didn't think that the match was offensive in any way, really. It's just, A, we've seen it before, and B, we pretty much knew that Roman was going over because that was the ending that Vince McMahon wanted years ago, but he couldn't get because the audience was going to riot if that happened. So, I mean, I will give the match itself a 4 because there compared to the rest of the night, it was palatable, but it was it was stale. It's that we've seen this match before. It's main evented WrestleMania before, and aside from the ending, there just wasn't anything different about it. So I'll give it a 4. I'll bring it up 2 notches from where Tony had it, but it. I mean, it just didn't set. It didn't do anything for me. Aside from Heyman's antics, it's all been done.
Yeah, that's true. And this is the reason that I set up here, and in my evaluation, I gave it a 7. I factored in Roman getting hurt. I mean, I just factored that in. I can't take that away from Roman. I would like to have seen where it would have gone. They did end up having the same match they did have that one WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That's what kept me far away from giving it any higher. This was not the best and most stupendous and most excellent and most gnarly and most rad and all this other adjectives you want to put on it match in WrestleMania history. This was okay match for a high price ending. And it's sad to see that this match ended up the way it did, because the hype behind it was awesome. I think they worked their way to that climax. It's just, old girl was just a little too tight, and you just couldn't hold on. So, yeah, I mean.
I'm sorry, but there is not enough lube in this world.
I'm just saying, you know. I hate to put it like that, but that's exactly what it was.
No,
I mean,
that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. Even though we didn't really buy into this going to be the biggest match of all time, but the way they hyped it, they set them up for failure. Like, even if Roman didn't get hurt, I don't think they could have lived up to the hype the way they built it.
Oh, hell no.
They set them up to fail.
It's Vince. You expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect that. The marketing machine in the WWE is a very powerful thing.
It is.
Yep.
And it's going to be the most stupendous wrestling show that you ever seen. Forget to tell the Briscoes
that you are. But looking at it like that, it's going to do one of two things. It's either A, you're going to buy into the BS, or B, you're going to look at it like, this better be good. Like, this better be good. This, you're lying to me. So you better come with something that even come remotely to what you said it's going to be. And they crap the bed.
Wait a minute.
You used 4 years ago as a house show. Like, you try stuff out of a house show and then throw it in WrestleMania. No, for them, it's like, we're going to do what we did 4 years ago in the main event of WrestleMania. Try that out and do it again 4 years later.
My thing is, and this is the way I look at it when it comes to WWE products, it's Vince McMahon. I expect everything to be truthful from Vince McMahon like I expect everything truthful to come from my ex-wife. Not at all. And I'm being 100% honest. Vince McMahon is a guy that can market. He can sell ice to an Eskimo. You know, I mean, he gets people all riled up and like, oh, my God, this is going to be awesome. And then once that main platter comes across your plate, you're looking at it like, what the hell did they just do?
Vince McMahon is the modern day equivalent of P.T. Barnum. He's a marketer and a showman, but at the end of the day, when you look behind that curtain and see what's really being presented, there's not much there.
I think here's my problem with that match, though. I mean, yeah, the way Vince marketed it, I wasn't expecting the greatest match ever, but I thought I was going to see something different. I thought I was going to see something extra. I thought it was going to be a lot of people shitted on the fact that we saw this already. I'm like, we didn't see Brock Lesnar, the babyface, versus the Tribal Chief. I was really not expecting the greatest match ever, the greatest WrestleMania match ever, but I was expecting different. Like,
I ain't gonna lie, I was expecting it to be garbage, and it was garbage.
But were you expecting it to be the same garbage as 4 years ago, though? Like, were you expecting to be, like, the same? Oh, I don't say worse version, but identically, like, they went with the same format, and it was worse than it was 4 years ago.
Okay, let me answer that for you. And you're going to be wondering, why do I answer it like this? I didn't think they would do it, but I expected it. Vince is known to recycle stuff like I don't know what. He does it with his character. He does it with all the characters in there. He recycles characters to where they come back only in a different form and maybe a more modern form, but basically it's the same damn character that was successful from back in the day. Look at L.A. Knight at NXT. He is nothing but a Stone Cold remake. I mean, honestly, think about it. Mandy Rose, I hate to say this about your girl, but she's another Trish Stratus. She's the heel Trish Stratus right now. They always recycle everything. They don't make anything original. Anything that actually happens that's original is by accident with them.
That's because WWE is an institution now. And they are living off nostalgia deliberately. And that's
hold on, Rob. No. I got to disagree with you on that. WWE, and I said this before, and people think I'm stupid. People think I'm joking around. People don't take me seriously when I say this. But after all of these examples that I've made, we have discussed when we were talking, remember we were talking about on the podcast, we were talking about DX. And I was talking about the Crocs shot. And I was talking about how WWE didn't invent that. That came from Mexico. You know what I'm saying? The invasion storyline came from Japan. 80%, I want to say anywhere from 60 to 80% of what WWE does is basically stealing from someplace else. But the reason we don't know that is because we don't have these places don't have the marketing machine like WWE does. And WWE puts it in front of our face like it's something new, and they just copy it off of somebody else.
And Brandon, I agree with that part. Well, what I mean by their living off nostalgia is that when they steal a concept that's new and it works, they don't know how to capitalize on they don't know how to generate new ideas to surpass that, and they just recycle the ideas that they stole. And they because they're an institution and because they're the most established company, they get lazy and they continue to do that. And this WrestleMania, they doubled down on it.
Mm-hmm. Doubled down. They tripled down on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They thought it was Texas Hold'em and said all in.
Yeah. Oh, I've got something to say about that later on. We'll get to that.
Uh-oh.
Speaking
of
all
my
in,
game now. this has been a very brutal weekend. I'm glad all of us survived it. You know, champagne for everybody. Let's get a glass out and drink it up because this was terrible. This is disappointing.
Yeah, WrestleMania 38, to me, is always going to rank at least in the bottom five WrestleManias of all time. I mean, when it wasn't being, like, offensive to the sensibilities of every wrestling fan, it was on cruise control. And it just, it exemplified everything that me and fans like me can't stand about WWE right now, and the things that they were just put a spotlight on, and the fact that they got an arena of people, at least half of them, to cheer for the things that were absolutely rotten is just counterproductive on all levels. That's my final analysis.
You call a bottom five. I call a bottom three. And in my opinion, is number one of the bottom three. Some of the worst WrestleManias I've seen was like 9 and 11.
Yes.
I could almost give those a pass for the simple fact that WrestleMania then was not what WrestleMania is now. WrestleMania worked, like back then, it wasn't bigger than a Super Bowl.
True.
Like, years ago, you could put WrestleMania in the Allstate Arena. WrestleMania would never be in the Allstate Arena because it's too big for it now. And WrestleMania was in the Allstate Arena years after those. So I can almost give those two a pass, as horrible as they are. For the way WrestleMania is now, for the way that this is the worst WrestleMania of all time. Ever. Like, there was not a worse WrestleMania than this one.
Completely agree.
But you got to give it one good thing, though. It didn't have a damn bunny.
I mean, Mark said that Edge and AJ was the best match of WrestleMania weekend. I really said the women on night one outperformed everybody on night two. In my opinion, night one was by far better than night two, and I thought the women did better. Both women matched, and I hate Becky Lynch. Hate her. Can't stand her. She's my bunny. Them fucking bees.
My bunny.
Oh, blasphemy. Oh, my God. Wash your mouth out with holy water.
Oh.
That's why you're choking over there.
Oh.
But, Rob, you have to have a good point, though. I think if night two would have been better, I think those two would have stepped up more, though. And I think that match might have been better on night one than night two because I think they would have, like, bought more out. But that finish really did it for me, too, though.
Yeah, I think if it were both nights for just one night, they really would have put on a show.
Easily. Like, you could have had NXT be your Saturday pay-per-view. You could have cut out half the fucking matches, have one really good night of WrestleMania. If you would have cut out half the matches that they had between two shows and made one show, this would have been one of the better WrestleManias.
No.
I mean, think about it. They had four hours of pre-shows. Four hours. I mean, they could have cut an hour off one of those pre-shows and get all that in on one night.
Because the 4 hours of pre-show was like them saying the same stuff over and over again, killing time.
Check this out. Straight up. I don't care if you had got Bret Hart back. Stone Cold would have been in his prime. The Rock would have came through. Well, maybe that's the only way this would have been a watchable pay-per-view. I don't care if they cut it to a half hour. This is garbage. It ain't the time,
I don't think it would have been
It's the matches.
No,
the
here's what I'm saying,
are garbage.
But here's what I'm saying, though. You could cut out a few matches for night one, and now, in my opinion, was not horrible. Night one was watchable. Take a couple matches off of night one. Add Edge and AJ to night one. Add the triple threat tag team match to night one. And you add Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar to it because you got to have that match. But then you trim out night one. You throw those three matches in there. Instead of two nights of WrestleMania, you just have one night of WrestleMania with those matches. Yeah, it's not one of your greatest WrestleManias ever, but it ain't the worst one you ever had.
Right,
because you could have cut out a lot of that bullshit.
Right, because you could have completely cut out Vince McMahon, the Vince McMahon McAfee match. You could completely cut that out, completely.
Yeah.
Actually, if you drop the Knoxville one and keep that one, I can live with it.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Definitely.
Oh.
But speaking of matches,
yeah, not by much.
For the weekend, WrestleMania week actually had that whole weekend had a series of matches. We discussed it amongst ourselves before the show came, a couple of days before the show came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to run through some picks right quick. Tony, for Stand and Deliver, you picked Ziggler and Breaker as a match of the night. Ring of Honor,
yes.
Briscoe versus FTR. WrestleMania
mm-hmm.
SmackDown, you picked Flair versus Rousey. And WrestleMania Sunday, it was the RK Bro match that you picked, Tony. Marcus,
yes.
You picked Stand and Deliver, Ziggler and Bryan. You didn't watch ROH. WrestleMania Saturday was Bianca and Beckley. WrestleMania Sunday was AJ and Cole. Rob, you didn't watch Stand and Deliver, but you watched part of Ring of Honor, which you got Briscoe's and FTR. WrestleMania Saturday, Bianca and Becky. WrestleMania Sunday, AJ and Edge. And I watched all four of them. Ziggler and Breaker was for Stand and Deliver. Briscoe's and FTR, of course, Ring of Honor. Bianca and Becky on WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday, AJ versus Edge. So we're actually unanimous on Ziggler and Breaker and Briscoe's and FTR, but the winners on Saturday would be Bianca and Becky, and the winner on Sunday would be AJ and Edge. So we have those four in contention for match of the weekend. I honestly wanted to where we all discuss, out of those four, who would you pick as match of the weekend and why? And I'm going to go ahead and let Marcus go first on this one.
I would pick AJ and Edge. And it was close because I really enjoyed the Bianca-Becky match, and the ending almost ruined it for me with the AJ-Edge match. But I just think those were the two best workers that weekend, and I thought they went out and did a really good match. So that's the pick for me.
Tony, go ahead.
Honestly, the ending is why I didn't pick it. Like, if it was a better ending, I probably would have picked them over the tag team match between them. Bianca and Becky was phenomenal. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I enjoyed both women matches. Those two were my two favorite matches of the night. But my favorite match of the weekend, in all honesty, was the Briscoes versus FTR. It was a phenomenal match. Phenomenal. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed, like, Charlotte. If I would have picked Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, it would have been because of the wrestling match. It would have just been for my personal feelings, how much I love Charlotte, and the fact that how much I'm happy that Ronda lost. But to be fair, the Briscoes and FTR was the best match.
Rob.
FTR Briscoes running away. They were they were the best match on the weekend. They were about as close to old school as and new school combining together in a beautiful booyah
yeah,
days.
It really
that
was.
That you could possibly get. Out of the others, the closest one that came, the match that came the closest to it, to my mind, was probably Bianca and Becky. Because that
yeah,
had some old school connotations to it,
yeah,
too. And Bianca going over had that WrestleMania feel to it, and that was one of the only matches of Saturday and Sunday that really had that feeling, because you know that they'd been building to Bianca getting another shot since SummerSlam, and as forced into that ending as they were, it did at least give that good WrestleMania feel to it. But it's just nothing. out of that whole weekend could, to my mind, could top the Briscoes versus FTR, because they just brought it, and it was just excellent.
Before you go, Rob, though,
okay.
Do you guys remember the Midnight Express funeral where Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It took me back to that.
Oh, yeah.
It had that feel. Oh.
For me, it was more Tully and Arn versus the Road Warriors. That was kind of what...
I can see that, too.
Yeah, that was kind of what FTR Briscoes, because the Briscoes, they're not a power team like the Road Warriors, but they're a dominant team like the Road Warriors. So
I see that.
Yeah, so that was kind of what they reminded me of.
All right, my pick, and I think everybody know what I would have picked. It's Briscoes and FTR. It was just magic that night with those guys. Rio Rada killed it. I mean, it was just, to me, that match made me think of when I was a kid and I had my black and white TV and my mom made me popcorn and I was sitting down and watching, getting enthused and all into the matches and my mom shaking her head like, this poor boy, what is wrong with him? You know, it did. It honestly did. It made me sit back and remember those times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You
question for you, though, Rob. I mean, Bobby, here's a question for you, though. Because we all agree on the Briscoes, but if the Briscoe wasn't an option and you just picked a WWE match from those remaining three, which one would you have picked?
Well, okay, say it again.
Take out that, because like, that was the match of the night, but from the WWE matches, from those three, from Stand and Deliver, Night 1, Night 2, which one would you pick from WWE?
Let me see. To pick out of those three, it'll be Bianca.
Okay.
Bianca and Becky, because that's actually the second best match I had on the whole weekend. Bianca
third,
Becky
it was third
did
for
that
me,
too,
but
though.
Yeah.
Bianca
and
Becky
did
that to me, too. You know, it wasn't something that was just... How can I explain? There's certain matches that you sit there and you watch, and you're just taken aback by it. You're just drawn to it. It's something that makes... those execution of those two people in there just stunned and just wanting more.
I mean,
and that's exactly what they did. Those two put on something that was a clinic. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm sorry. Honestly, it's kind of sad to say, but the best match out of WrestleMania was those two. It was the women. That is their future. Their future is that women's division.
I said earlier, the best two matches of WrestleMania weekend are both women matches. For me, it's just my personal feeling for Charlotte. She's the best in the business. But the finish to that match, nobody expected. From match quality, Bianca and Becky Lynch, by far. The match quality, I think that match was better than that match. What puts Charlotte and Ronda above that for me personally, and it's my personal feeling for both women, was the finish. But both matches were better than anything that WWE put on for those two guys.
It was. It was some of the best matches that you could have seen, because the storytelling in those matches were awesome. It captivated you. It captivated you.
Yes.
You know, you guys are starting to change my mind a little bit, but I'm still sick with AJ, but you're starting to change my mind a little bit.
Oh, no.
Nobody going to change your mind.
No,
well, not quite.
Actually,
no, I see what you guys are saying.
But here's the thing, though. Like, finishes are important, in my opinion. And if AJ and Edge had a different finish, my feelings might be different, though.
Yeah, look, the match, because I was like, oh, this ending sucks. Like, why did they do that?
Yeah, and when we're talking about
okay, let me be honest with you for a second. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't change nothing for me. It wouldn't change anything for me, because in that match, those girls wanted it. You could tell they were drooling over it. You could tell they were trying to make a statement. AJ and them seemed like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to get out of here. They were trying to prove a point in that match. So I can't sit there and I can't say that AJ's was better when you had more effort, more everything from the women. Both the women's matches had more effort and everything to them.
Now, I'm going to defend Marcus's choice here. There was absolutely nothing wrong, from my point of view, aside from the ending with the AJ Edge match. And that's a legitimate pick for you to feel that way, and I have no problem with you saying that's the match of WrestleMania. The reason that I picked Bianca Becky was because there was just that extra push that made it a WrestleMania match. And those two, aside from the fact that they were trying to make a statement for the women's division, they just had a chemistry and an energy to that match that nobody else could match. Now, AJ and Edge are masters at their game, and they did great with what they had. It was the feeling and the emotion that came out of the Bianca Becky match. That's what really pushed it over the top. But Marcus, you made a legitimate pick, and I'm not trying to change your mind with mine. But this WrestleMania, it had a few decent matches mixed into a bowl of sewage. So in order to hold on to the good stuff like we have is just what it's a struggle for every fan. And no, Marcus picking the Edge AJ match is legit, and I have no problem with that.
Those four women winning it with a chip on their shoulders. Becky and Bianca probably thought they should have been booked at the main event, and even out there to steal the show. Charlotte and Ronda obviously went out there with a chip on their shoulders because they were the main event and they got bumped.
Yep.
Those four women's shoulders stole the show.
I don't understand why you had two women's matches as the main event. I mean, on one card anyway.
I don't get that either. I mean, that was just as bad as night two was. You could move either one of those matches to night two, and it wouldn't have come across as worst show ever. And they would have sold the show for night two, and it might have made the women step up.
No, not with Johnny Knoxville on there. No.
Yeah, and I
no, no, no. Okay, when I say that, man, I wasn't talking about them, those two, man, because you had a goddamn stupid celebrity in the main match, and you had Sami Zayn, which I always hated to begin with. I'm talking about the other man, not them.
Oh, okay.
And I can see Ronda Rousey being like, she's not going on the same card as Brock. It's like she's not going to try to compete with that match, even though their match was better. But just for name value, I can see her not, you know what I'm saying? Look, I'm going on night one. I'm not going against Brock Roman match.
All right, but look at it this way, though. Look how early Becky and Bianca went on night one. You put them on in that exact same slot that early in the match, I think it would change the tone and how people following that would have went into that.
Well, did you not hear about what happened? Wait. Did you not hear about what happened during the week, though?
Oh, yeah. Rousey had that bitch fit.
Rousey was ready to quit. Yeah. Rousey was already picked. Yeah. She's like, how the hell am I not the main event?
Right.
Why are you putting Stone Cold? Which I understand Stone Cold, but at the same time, I would have put Ronda Rousey.
Because, well, she don't understand that. She's not a bigger star than Austin is now. Not in the wrestling business, no. And, of course, they don't close the show. And, of course, you know, they had to close the show with Steve doing his beard guzzling. I don't know why she couldn't understand that. You can't. No, nobody could have came
behind that. I could.
You could what, came behind that?
Because what everybody thought was it was just going to be a talk show.
No, I don't think nobody thought that. I don't think everybody thought it was going to be a match, but I don't think anybody thought that KO wasn't getting a stunner, and he wasn't, and also wasn't going to do his beer guzzling, raise his hands on the turnbuckle. I don't think anybody thought that wasn't going to happen.
I thought somebody would get stunned, but I didn't think it was going to be a match like that.
No, not a match, no. But I'm just saying, I think everybody thought it was going to be a talk show. Then at some point, KO was going to get in Austin's face. He was going to kick him in the stomach, give him the stunner, and then the glass was going to break. Music, all that kind of stuff. Toss the beers, and all that wriggling war. I don't think anybody.
But why would you want that at the end? I still don't understand. I don't understand why you would want a segment to be at your main event of your show. I
because they in Austin, Texas, and they giving Austin his send out. They giving him his. They giving him another moment. That's why. And if I'm
I don't want to come behind that.
I don't know. If I'm a performer, even if I'm Roman Lesnar, I don't want to come behind that.
Shoot, I would.
Am I the only person that thinks that Ronda Rousey is drinking her own bathwater a little bit too much?
Oh, a lot too much.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. Hold on. Wait. I can't say that. They knew what they was getting into first got her. You got to understand, when you are at the top like that all the way from when you are young, you're going to think that it's supposed to be your life forever. Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, she's not that big a star.
Ronda Rousey thinks that she should be on top, especially a sport like wrestling where they're really not fighting. You know what I'm saying? I get her, and I understand her a little bit. That doesn't mean that I agree with her, but I understand. Because it's like she's looking like, oh, this is the garbage, and you really? You gonna do that? Yeah, I don't blame her.
If she was as good as
advertised, I wouldn't blame her. But Shayna Baszler is a much better professional wrestler than Ronda Rousey.
Exactly.
And they have
is true. And they need to get them two together.
And she's not the star that she used to be. She's not the star as big a star as when she came in. After getting her ass whooped twice, nonetheless, but still, she ain't the biggest star, though.
Hey. Some people get punched in the mouth.
No, she almost got her fucking arm broke twice and still the baddest woman on the planet, but whole nother story, but still, no.
Yeah, you got a point. I can't deny that one at all. I mean, that's 100% on point. What in the world? Hold on. Give me a second. I guess this thing keeps messing up. Hold on.
Fuck Ronda Rousey, okay?
Walking out of WWE.
The bitch got her ass kicked twice going into WWE. They fucking her like she never got her ass kicked. She's an entitled bitch. Entitled. She walked into the company thinking that she's the baddest woman ever, and there's two badder bitches that beat you before you got there.
Yep.
But in WWE, she is the baddest woman.
Exactly.
No, Shayna Baszler's better than her.
I don't know.
And I'm not even a huge Shayna Baszler fan.
I'd like to see them into a fight and see what happens.
Oh, I would love to see that. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, yeah,
I would love to see that.
Yes. Yes.
I would love to see that.
I'm not
a huge Shayna Baszler fan, and I don't like Ronda Rousey, but I still would pay to see that.
I'm telling you,
I'd
Shayna
rather
got
see
sleeper.
Charlotte versus Becky again.
Who versus Becky?
No, Baszler's gonna tear her up. But I mean, I'm sorry. That's a match I would love to see. I would love to see that one, boy. Ooh. I mean, think about Shayna Baszler breaking her off. Ooh, that'd be lovely. So,
Charlotte and Ronda should have main evented at WrestleMania, and I get the whole thing with Stone Cold in Dallas, Texas. You didn't build it as a match, so it should have main evented the match. If you would have built it as they're going to face each other, I get it. The way you built it, it didn't make sense.
But Tony,
sure,
you think
I agree.
They really would want to go? But you think they really want to go on after Austin?
I'm not saying they would want to go after Austin Wrestling in Dallas. No, I'm not saying they want to go after Austin Wrestling. What I'm saying is, you don't put a match of that caliber before a social segment as you build it. If they were to build as them two going to wrestle. And they want to build that as a match, I get it. The way they build it, no. I agree with the women on that. Only because of the way they build it. They build it as a talk show. It was advertised as a talk show. They hyped it as a talk show. The crazy part about it is, if they would have built this as a match, they would have got more people interested in it.
But Tony, what I was saying earlier, everybody knew it wasn't going to be just a talk show. I could see them not knowing it was going to be a match.
I was the only one.
No.
When we made our predictions, I was the only one to say it was going to be a match.
What?
Everybody
was
right, expecting that to be a wrestling match.
But what I'm saying is everybody knew KO was taking a stunner. I didn't think it was going to be a match. Everybody knew he was taking a stunner, and he was going to do his Austin thing. And I'm saying it in Austin, Texas, no wrestler would want to come over, could have came on behind that. That would have been a death of their match because the crowd would have been on emotional, such an emotional high from Austin. You don't want to go on behind that. No, nobody wants to go on behind.
I am not taking the best seat for a moment in a talk show. No.
No, but
it's
not,
a talk
remember,
show.
This is
a stunner in a talk
remember,
show. No, a match. Yeah,
no.
Talk
but,
show.
See,
no,
you got to remember, Austin is still a bigger star than everybody on that card. Still, to this day, 20 years later, he's a bigger star than every single wrestler on that card. So nobody.
Now, how
are
you
going to
say that? How are you going to say that? Michael Cole is a bigger star than anybody.
No,
you're kidding.
You know, I'm saying. Nobody
I don't care
what the match is. Nobody wants to come behind that.
No, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
As a talk show segment that you make at that moment, anytime Austin go out there, and Austin has they make this out to be like the first time he's been out there in 19 years. Austin had made several appearances over several years, including in Texas. It was not the main event. Well, Hulk Hogan called the Superdome the Silverdome. Austin was there. That wasn't in Texas, but still, it was a WrestleMania moment. Austin has been there a lot and not been the main event because of the segments. For a segment, no, even in Dallas, Texas, just a segment, he's going to stun a man. It don't need the main event because we know that's going to happen in a segment. Hey, they would have built this up as the wrestling match. It's the main event. If they would have built and the crazy part about it, if they would have built it for what it was, they would have got more eyes on the product. If you're going to have Austin take on KO in the wrestling match, why would you not advertise that? Austin's first match in 19 years, why would you not?
All I'm going to say is, would you have wanted to follow that?
Would I want to follow a talk show? Yes. Would I want to follow that match?
No. I'm talking about what happened. They did everybody a favor because they knew they was doing a match. They knew that. They didn't advertise it, but they knew it. So why would you put anybody behind that?
I mean,
I agree with you. The way they did it, no, you don't follow that. My problem
right,
is,
exactly.
Hey,
that's all I'm saying.
You
can
put
them
in a match and say, but tell me this. What would you rather pay for? Would you rather pay to see Austin on the KO show, or would you rather pay to see Austin wrestle?
Oh, no question. Austin wrestle. They should have advertised.
Why wouldn't you advertise that, though? Why is that your secret?
Because that's the problem with the business here. They do stupid stuff like that. I mean, I 100% agree with you. But what I'm saying is Flair and Rousey wouldn't have got the credit due if they would follow that. That's all I'm saying. They did them a favor by not having to follow
that. And Flair and Rousey probably didn't know they were wrestling because you know how WWE is keeping everything top secret. If they just build that as a match instead of a tussle segment, I don't think you heard anything for either one of them.
Well, that's part of the biggest problem with this show is that they threw WWE had to throw everything they possibly could to make this WrestleMania at least marketable. Because they had to throw Austin at it. They had to throw two and a half celebrity matches at it. They had to throw two women's title matches at it, including involving Ronda Rousey. They had to throw every specialty type of thing that they could at this WrestleMania in order to get people even remotely interested in it. And my question is, what in God's name are they going to have to do next year to fill a stadium? Because they were expecting 100,000 people each night. They were expecting 100,000 people for Saturday and Sunday, and they only got two-thirds of that. So, and that was after throwing everything but the kitchen sink. What the hell are they going to have to do next year? Rock Cena 3?
Only thing I can see is Rock Roman. That's the only thing I can see they got.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I'm just saying, if nothing else, I mean, I'm not really either, but, you know, Rock is still huge, so just on a name.
The promos up to WrestleMania for that is going to be awesome. I'm going to like that.
Absolutely.
I think that'll be good. But now we're talking about The Rock in the ring with Roman Reigns. That right there, if The Rock calls this match, I think it's going to be awesome. If they let him do whatever they're going to do, and Paul Heyman gets his hands on it, I don't think it's going to go as well as people think. I think The Rock needs to call this match to make it go flow well. I think that the Tribal Chief, of course, is going to come out on top. I mean, there's just no way around it. And I honestly think he's going to still have the belt then. So there you go.
Yeah, I can see him being the longest reigning champion since Bruno. I can see that.
Yeah, they're going to do that. They're definitely going to do that. They're going to put the pretty boy from Aquaman on there to do that. Yeah. But, I mean, it disturbs me so much because I like Roman. I understand you want a dominant champion. But now you're making it look like Roman is just not going to be beat by anybody, period. That he's just going to retire and say, here, just take the belt because I'm tired. I'm beating everybody. And I know you're supposed to do that, but not to this degree. There's supposed to be somebody that can challenge you. And Lesnar's not it. Lesnar's a big goofball. I'm sorry. Everybody's hyped up about Lesnar. I think he's the biggest. We don't want to go into that. Yeah, we just leave that alone because I don't care if he did fly here out here from Saskatchewan and act a fool. Number one, he's going to come to Tenth of Rural, which he ain't going to do nothing. And number two, even if he do come out here and want to do something, I ain't got no problem getting my arm broke fighting somebody. So, you know, I just come to a point of I just call it like it is, and Lesnar's not it for me. He never has been it for me. He's been an overhyped marketing train since he's gotten into the wrestling business, And I'm glad Roman Reigns has it now, but I'm getting tired of him too. And they need to get some type of switch going. They need to get some type of switch going. Which comes to my next thing, because we got to skip one question. We went a little over time. But, and Marcus, I know Marcus, you're going to love this question that I'm about to ask. Will AEW or any company get to the corporate level of WrestleMania and what the WWE has with WrestleMania? Now, I heard that snicker. I want you guys to tell me your opinion real quick, and then I'm going to fill in with mine. So whoever wants to go first.
I'll take this one first. Okay. Up until last weekend, I would have said that that AEW in the next couple years would surpass WWE on a corporate level. But we have to separate the corporate from the wrestling business. And the WrestleMania 38, to my mind, was the WWE's answer to All In. All In was a gathering of people who wanted things to be different. That was the whole point of that entire experiment, even though Cody has since backed out on it, and the motivation of the Bucks at the same time and Omega is questionable as well. But to be there that weekend and to feel that atmosphere, it was everybody who and it's not that we wanted WWE to go out of business. We just wanted WWE to try. We wanted them to improve their product, and this past weekend proved that they have absolutely no interest whatsoever in changing their product. They don't want to improve. They don't want to listen to anybody who wants them to change or improve their product or make it any different than the garbage that it is now. And
that's true.
AEW is, it's not publicly traded, and it's more interested, it's a private company, but I don't think that it's going to surpass WWE on a corporate level, because WWE is the definition of a institutional corporation, and it's going to remain that until the McMahon family sells it. And I don't want to view WWE programming again until the company is sold. Now, hopefully in the next couple of years, what I've said, that the landscape is going to be unrecognizable in that time. And I'm hoping that I'm still right. But last weekend gave me my doubts on that. WWE may always be WWE. And you know, it just breaks my heart that nothing will ever change when it comes to that. But as far as if AEW will ever be as big of a corporation as the WWE, no. Will it be able to fill stadiums in the next 2 or 3 years? I would say yes, if they do it right. But WWE is always going to be the bigger corporation, and it's always going to be the bigger institution.
Okay. Marcus, what do you say?
I'm going to say hell no. Absolutely, positively not. Okay. First of all, Vince said it. First of all, no wrestling company is ever going to be the corporation that WWE is. WWE is as big as it is because Vince said it. He's not in the wrestling business. He's into show business. Okay. Tony Khan or no promoter is the marketing genius that Vince is to get the interest, to get the interest up to be that. Okay, I mean, as much as we don't like Hogan, Hogan was such a huge star. And people like my mother, who I don't know if ever seen a wrestling match in her life, knew who Hulk Hogan was. Okay, they don't build star. Neither company is building stars anymore that will ever rival Hogan, Austin, Rock, anything like that, to make the non-watching viewer interested in maybe possibly seeing it. I mean, wrestling now, well, wrestling gets like what, maybe five and a half million viewers a week across the board. That was one company on Monday night years ago. I mean, it's never going to go back to being what it was. AEW or no other company will ever get to be as big as WWE is. They get twice the ratings. AEW gets what, a million a week if they're lucky, million and a half, million one. Okay, Raw's getting what, two and a half million, double the audience. It will, far as I'm concerned, I don't ever see it happening.
Okay, Tony. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's take Tony's thing again.
Oh, there we go. Can you hear me?
Oh, thank you. I got you now.
All right. All right. No. And here's the reason I say no. The wrestling business is not a wrestling business. It's an entertainment business. When Ted Turner took over WWE and called Vince McMahon, he said, well, I'm in the same business as you. I'm in the wrestling business. They said, no, I'm not in the wrestling business. I'm a sports entertainment business. That's what this is. Until the only way you're going to compete with Vince McMahon is to compete like Vince McMahon. And no, and AEW is the alternative. AEW is for us, the wrestling fans, but the business is entertainment. As bad as WrestleMania was, look at the ratings for Dynamite and Rampage following WrestleMania. It didn't increase. People weren't disgusted with WrestleMania to the point where they tune in to AEW for something else. We're in a minority for hating on Johnny Knoxville Sami Zayn match, which is embarrassing as a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
But more people liked that match than disliked it. The way the business is, you're not going to over... Everybody who wants to overtake WWE wants to overtake it on wrestling. Wrestling is not going to overtake WWE. Being a solid wrestling show is not going to be better than WWE as far as corporate mainstream. They're an entertainment product, and that's what they do. You ain't going to beat them wrestling. Sad to say.
Mm-hmm.
But as much as Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn is your answer, because as much as wrestling fans didn't like it, the casual fans did, and they outnumber us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is the saddest thing of all. But yeah, yeah. As much as it
exactly.
Makes me puke in my soup to agree with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, now it's my turn. I had to think about this for a while. I literally thought about this for a while because this is something that I really wanted to get down, and I wanted to get this right when I spoke about this, because you could do a lot of things with this question, and you can go a lot of different ways, and It's like a web that you can get caught in when you think about questions like this. But I seriously had to sit down, put on my educational part, and look at, can someone be corporate? And it's not so much as WWE, I mean WrestleMania, which to me, WrestleMania is WWE. That's what the WWE is about.
Yeah. It's a Super Bowl. That's a Super Bowl.
Right. I'm going to say that they could, but the chance is dwindling fast. Tony Khan was the best answer to really taking over. The problem is, and I hate saying this, but I'm just going to be 100% real. But once I say this, you might understand and might agree with me on this. It's wrestlers ourselves. And I know a lot of independent people will listen to this and look at me like, huh? You are an independent wrestler too. Yeah, but I was a business-minded independent wrestler. I understood that if I go to an independent show, the house is not going to be where it's going to be 4,000 people, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not going to charge $500 to go in there and work a patch. I understand it's going to be low. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. This is going to be more for exposure. This, this, and this. When you have Tony Khan, and I hate to say it, people looked at, oh, my God, Tony Khan has all this money. They didn't look at, oh, my God, it's a new organization. I could really do something with this organization, and I could really make a change. It was all about self-sacrificing, and they did not pass the test whatsoever. That goes with Jericho. That goes with Kenny Ortega. That goes with the Young Clucks. That goes for Cody himself as well. I feel bad for Tony Khan because they are experienced in this wrestling business and know the right things to say and the things to punch or whatever. And what happened was is that they saw Tony Khan was all in the Cody. And I'm sorry, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega got together, flipped on Cody. Cody's trying to talk to Tony like, what the heck is this? And then plus the stuff Cody wanted to do wasn't working out right, so it really looked bad. And Tony was like, well, your stuff don't work out right, plus this, this, and this. You either take this or it's a no. And he's like, I shouldn't be down like that because of what happened. Now you got Punk. I could do a lot better with Punk here. You know, I see that happening. Tony Khan had a formula because the thing that WWE has better, that Tony should have invested in more than anything, was a marketing department. When your marketing can reach millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people, and you can catch their attention, they will jump on your bandwagon. That's kind of what happened when we went to the first All In. Everybody they marketed to the right people, and all the fans looked like, oh, my God, we got something different. Let's shoot for it. But us as wrestlers, and I'm going to include myself in there because I'm a former wrestler myself, us as wrestlers blew it by getting greedy. We wanted control. We wanted to fill our pockets. And those in control at Tony Khan's hood did not care about the product itself. It was about self-preservation. And it's sad because we had the tools. And now, since the glitter is off of AEW from its inception, people are like, oh, it's a junk product. Well, you know what? When you first start off, you don't start off with the best quality at first, because guess what? The best quality is expensive. And you don't know if you're going to have the longevity to sustain that high-priced merchandise. So you do start off with cheaper merchandise, and you do work, and you do work up, and you do work up, and now you have the Daniel Bryans, and now you have the CM Punks, but your philosophy has to be fluid. It has to adjust to when you get to a certain level, you do something else, and that's the fault of Tony Khan. Because he's trusted three people that has done nothing but drain his pocketbooks and not care about the wrestling business. They can. They just have a longer way to go to do it. I see Tony Khan making the right adjustments. He has William Regal there. He has JR. A lot of people that's outnumbering these cats that are trying to do shows for themselves. If he continues on that path, he will be successful. So he's at a fork of the road right now, and he needs to choose which way he wants to go. And he needs to say the Young Bucks and them need to sit their ass down and shut the hell up.
I hate to belabor an analogy, but I look at AEW as the first few seasons of Saturday Night Live. They started out as a low-budget just showcase of different personalities that were not ready for prime time, and they became one of the hugest things in comedy. And they had the right combination of people. They had Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, eventually John Candy, Eddie Murphy, and a host of other people, Steve Martin, Bill Murray, and just a host of people that were great in their own right but gelled together and made something great. AEW has the chance to do that, but they're eventually, in some ways they are, in some ways they aren't, but they have to transition from that early time of not ready for primetime TV and transition into what the great years of SNL were. Bobby, you're right. They have taken it back a step, and they didn't really do it the way they were supposed to do it. Maybe because the company started on the shoulders of guys like the Bucks, Omega, and Cody, and now it's shifted to other shoulders. But I haven't lost hope in AEW being the anti-WWE, and that the co-op, the anti-WWE co-op that's happening with New Japan and ROH and NWA and everybody outside of that sphere. I haven't given up hope on it, but you're right. The honeymoon is over, and everybody's got to step up and prove now. And I'm hoping that it will still happen, and that WWE is eventually going to be forced to get better. But after last weekend, my confidence that WWE is not going to double down, triple down, quadruple down on stupid, I'm just not convinced that it will until the McMahons sell their company.
Here's the problem, to be honest with you. Why would they? I mean, AEW's making all the right moves, and they're doing everything we want them to do. They brought in Daniels, and they brought in Pac, though. But look at the viewership, though. At the end of the day, when it comes to like competing with WWE on a corporate standpoint, it comes to viewership. CM Punk was one of the biggest returns ever. And the numbers that AEW drew on that return, the WWE would have like that's nothing. They're not drawing like from a corporate, from a wrestling standpoint. For us as fans, as wrestling fans, the wrestling community is great. But when you talk about competing on a corporate level, it's not working. And
yeah,
CM Punk going there, Danielson going there. I mean, you want to talk about the business aspect and the corporate aspect of it? Look at AEW viewership. This thing, for the average fan, is like, why would he let them go? But when he look at their numbers, he's like, why would I keep them?
Well,
guys, we got 30 seconds left. We have 30 seconds left. I hate to cut this short, but this is something we got to continue. I think this is a subject that we need to find a time to do this on again. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the AEW Future Focus. I got 10 seconds left. Tony Motown Allen, Marvelous Marcus Buckley, Robert Black, the Mastermind Bob Rogers, all bid you adieu. Please kill all bunnies, and we will definitely see you in the future.
You know it's all about the fire!